So I put this as lesson three on the Holy Spirit. If some of you weren't with me on that one Wednesday, we had a kind of a second lesson on the Holy Spirit, and I'll mention that in a minute here. But if you remember when we got together last time, the first thing we talked about is who is the Holy Spirit. And as a kind of a little reminder and of what we talked about is that he is an extension, and it's right here on the top of your sheet, first thing. He is an extension of Christ working through individual believers, but in a better way. Hopefully some of you remember that. But the Holy Spirit, matter of fact, Christ himself said, it is better for that I go, for if I do not go, he says, the Comforter would not come. See, Christ understood that the work, the ministry that he started here with his disciples and with those that are around him when he was on earth, it was critical that he saw the fact that after he paid the penalty for our sins, he paid the price, that it was better for him to leave so that the indwelling of the Holy Spirit can come into individual believers and that his work can be carried out in such a better way. One of the ways I looked at it this way is that you think about a lighthouse that is on, you know, on the land, right? The more lighthouses that you spread across the coastal line or across the coast, right, the better the ships, the better those that are caught in the storm, the better that those that are in, you know, in the middle of, or getting ready to go through destruction, the better they can see that light. And in some ways, we are all those different little, we're all those different little lighthouses, right? When God saved us, we are lights. And the more lights that shine, right, the more that we can be a witness, the more that Christ can be seen. Matter of fact, one of the greatest verses that I loved when I first got saved was, let your light so shine upon men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. One of the main things that Christ wants us to do is he wants us to be lighthouses for him. He wants our light to shine so that the ministry of Christ can go out in such a better way and a quicker way, and he wants to use us to do that. That's a remarkable truth. So who is the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit is an extension of Christ working through individual believers, but in a better way. If you're with me after we talked about that lesson, I went through on a Wednesday night that all of God's children are critical for his service. All of God's children are critical for his service. When we think about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we see that in that whole chapter it talks about spiritual gifts. Now you can go through that chapter if you weren't able to sit in on that lesson, but we need to understand that when the Holy Spirit was given to us, the Holy Spirit has given each and one of us special gifts. Each one of those gifts are different. Each one of those gifts can be used in a different way. And not all of us have the same gifts, which is okay. But God wants to use every one of those gifts so that work that he wants to do through us can be done in a great way. We need to understand that each one of those gifts are critical for his service. The question I have for you this morning is, what is your gift this morning? Have you understood what God's gift is for you? Has the Holy Spirit been able to show you and help you understand the special gift that he's given to you? You know, some of us are gifted in music. Some of us are gifted in children's ministry. Some of us are gifted in engineering. Some of us are gifted in cooking. Some of us are gifted in accounting. Some of us are gifted in building things, right? A lot of us are gifted in different ways. It doesn't necessarily even have to be part of ministry. But God wants to use whatever we're gifted in to be used to be a testimony for him. It's important that all those gifts come together and we work together so that God can use us in this church, so that we can see many people reached through this ministry. When we talked about who is the Holy Spirit, we talked about seven critical reminders that we need to understand about the Holy Spirit. I'm just going to touch on these real quickly, but we need to remember that He is a person. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's the third person of the Trinity. He is God's presence in believers. Thirdly, He brings conviction to both the lost and the saved. One of the reasons that you're saved here this morning is because God had to convict your heart about your sin. God had to show you and open up your eyes of the truth that we're all sinners, right? And that Christ had to come and He had to pay for that sin. He had to pay the penalty for that sin. Our minds had to be opened up to that truth. We had to understand that. I remember very clearly when I was sitting in the pew and I was lost, and I heard a message on do or done, right? Am I still doing something to get my way to heaven, or has it already been done? Has it already been paid for by the blood of Christ? And while I was sitting there listening to that message, the Holy Spirit was prompting my heart, and He was telling me, you know what? What is being said is true. I had the Word of God right there in front of me. I had the Word of God that was being preached from the pulpit telling me that this is God's Word. This is truth. And the Holy Spirit started to convict my heart and said, you know what? This is something you need to do. This is something you need to understand. It was that day that when I heard that message and I saw the truth, that I was convicted and I was saved. At the point I was saved, the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within. The Holy Spirit didn't dwell within my heart at the time before I was saved, but as soon as I received Christ as my Savior, the Holy Spirit came into my heart and dwelled within me now. It's important to understand that the Holy Spirit convicts the lost and the saved. When after we're saved, He convicts us and shows us of what we need to do. He shows us truth, and that's another point we're going to be getting to here. Fourthly, He provides assurance of your salvation. We're going to be looking at that and touching on that again here this morning. Fifthly, He guides us in prayer. Sixth, He gives us guidance in all truth. And lastly, which we're going to be talking about here this morning, is that the Holy Spirit can be grieved. See, these are important things to remember, critical things to understand about the Holy Spirit. But one of the biggest things I want you to see out of that full list of items there is that lastly there, the Holy Spirit can be grieved. Let me ask you a question this morning. How sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life? How sensitive are you to His working, to His leading, to His teaching, to all these different things that the Holy Spirit does for us? Do you ever ask yourself that question? I know when I first got saved, and I think I mentioned this first time when I was teaching on this Holy Spirit, is that I had a sensitivity to God's Spirit. Matter of fact, I was tuning into everything that God wanted me to do. It's like as soon as I got saved, all I wanted to do is do the right thing. And anytime I knew I did something wrong, I immediately had to go and I had to pray and confess that. Matter of fact, I was at work and I would always have to go way out from where I was working, and I think I told you guys this is kind of funny, but I had to actually go into the bathroom, and I go into the bathroom and I would pray and I say, Lord, forgive me for doing that. I don't want to do that anymore. Please forgive me. And then I go back to work and I try to do some work, and then I'd fall again, and then I go back into the bathroom. I know it sounds silly, but that's what I did. It wasn't too long after a while that I realized that I didn't have to do that. I could just pray right then and there and just say, Lord, forgive me, right? But the point I'm trying to say here is that I had a sensitivity to the Holy Spirit. How sensitive are you to the Holy Spirit's leading in your life today? Do you seek His guidance? Do you look to Him for wisdom and understanding? Do you look for His advice? One of the titles of the Holy Spirit is that He's the Comforter. Do you feel His comfort in the time of need? Do you still sense His conviction? Do you still sense His correction that He does in your life? These are all important things that we need to ask ourselves. I'm here to remind you this morning that the Holy Spirit is critical in our Christian walk. This morning I want to help you understand the process of grieving the Holy Spirit. Understand the process of grieving the Holy Spirit. Number one, and these are, I know these are like, you know, college points here. I mean, these things are like biblical college points here. You know, this is theological. You know, this is down there. I mean, Pastor, I don't know any way to say it, but first point here, right? When is the Holy Spirit grieved? When? Right? Why don't you turn to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Give you a moment to turn there. But when is the Holy Spirit grieved? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30 says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." I thought it was interesting to note that there's a few things about this verse. First of all, in the first part of this verse, it talks about grieving the Holy Spirit. And then the second part of the verse here, it talks that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. I'm kind of glad that this verse talks about both of those together, because it's important to understand. First of all, I want to talk about the first part of that verse, and it says that, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God." What does it mean to grieve? What is the word grieve? Well, if you look up the word grieve in the Greek, it basically means to make sorrowful or to offend. To make sorrowful or to offend. I think a lot of us as parents can really understand what maybe grieving is like. Because when you raise children and you teach them to do a certain thing or to be a certain way, you try to develop them and form their character, and part of that is important to us as parents, because we want them to grow up and go out into society, right? And to be a testimony for God and to do the right things, right? But when they decide to do something that is against from what we've taught them or we've shown them, what happens? There's a grieving that occurs in the parent, right? It's like, why are they doing that? How come that is happening? And you get kind of thrown back and you try to understand what's going on here. Well, this grieving is kind of that same process. I want you to look at the surrounding verses here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30. Look at some of the few verses before that, and look at a couple of verses right after verse 30. You tell me, what are some of the ways the Holy Spirit is grieved? Yeah, bitterness, anger, wrath. What'd you say?
Our thoughts.
Anything else? Verse 30 is what? 31? Yeah. Matter of fact, the verse is even before verse 31. If you look at verse 25, it's, you know, obviously focuses on lying, right? If you look at verse 26, it's focused on anger. Verse 27, evil thinking. Verse 28 talks about stealing. Verse 29 talks about corrupt communication. Are these all things that we would want to teach our children not to do? Sure it is. If your children would do this, would you be grieved? Sure. You know, when we do these type of things and we go through this list of items, it says here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, is that the Holy Spirit is grieved. It means it makes them sorrowful. It makes them offended. Matter of fact, verse 31 kind of puts the whole list together. Bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking, malice, which is a desire to injure. This is just really a part of a list that is mentioned here, but it goes beyond that. Now, this morning is not my goal to go through all the definitions of this list, but it's important to understand and know what they are. Matter of fact, I think it would be a great idea and it would be a good idea if that we could go through each one of those items. Obviously, I would never get out of here by quarter after if I did that. But what I do want you to understand is that that list is important. Looking at this verse in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 30, I want to look at that second part. And the second part says, whereby ye are saved unto the day of redemption. Why do I feel that this is important, that these are kind of mentioned together? Any idea? Lisa. Yeah, the Holy Spirit is one that sealed us. When we come to Christ, right? He immediately, when we make the decision to accept what He has done for us, and we come to Him, and we turned away from our sins, and now we're depending on the finished work of the cross, that He died and paid for those sins. It says the Holy Spirit comes into our heart and dwells us. So when we become saved, the Bible says, the Holy Spirit dwells within us. I want you to understand that there's this process that happens is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. But it says there in the second part of that verse is that yet we're sealed unto the day of redemption. I know many people that think sometimes that if they do something wrong or they fail. Yes, you do grieve the Holy Spirit. But you are still saved and the Holy Spirit is still with you and will dwell there until the day of redemption. The reason I'm saying that is because it's important to understand is that we can grieve the Holy Spirit, but it's not the fact that the Holy Spirit no longer dwells within us. It's not that the Holy Spirit wants to get away from us. It's not that the Holy Spirit cuts us off. It's more for the process, the fact that when we grieve Him, it's not the Holy Spirit that's cutting us off. It's who cutting who off. You know, I guess one of the things I could picture is the fact that, let's say, I don't know what I could use here, but let's say the chair over there is the Holy Spirit. And every time I grieve the Holy Spirit, I'm putting a building block in front of that chair. And maybe sometimes I confess the things that I did wrong and I move that building block away, because that's what God does. He says if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins. He can forgive us. But then I go ahead and I make another bad decision and I put that block right back. And then I don't confess that one, so then I start doing something else and then I add on to that block. And as I get into that pattern, I get used to not confessing and doing the things that I shouldn't be doing, what am I doing? I'm building this wall. And I'm tuning out the Holy Spirit. It's not that the Holy Spirit went away. It's not that He disappeared. It's not that He's gone. But if you're having an issue of understanding where His presence is this morning, or why He's not speaking to you, or why He's not convicting you, or why He's not comforting you, or why He's not doing some of these things, is because we are little by little have learned to tune Him out. First Corinthians chapter 3, verse 16 says, "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." That's incredible. I don't know if you realize what that verse is saying, but it's a reminder to us that we are sealed onto the day of redemption. "Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you." That word temple means that is the place where God dwells. That's a dwelling place. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20 says, "What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God?" And know what it says at the end there, "And ye are not your own." See, when we got saved, God bought us. The Bible says we were bought with a price. And we are no longer our own. Matter of fact, if you look at the next verse there, it says, verse 20 in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 there, it says, "For ye are bought with a price." One of the main points here I want you to see here is this. Though these things that we see here in Ephesians grieve the Holy Spirit, understand that these are the result of an underlying issue. Can't talk this morning, but these are the results of an underlying issue. What I want you to see here is not necessarily the list. Though the list is important, though these are critical things, the results of these are because of a main thing. So number two, how does this happen? How do we get to this point? How do we end up grieving the Holy Spirit to the point where we tune Him out? I want you to turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And this is important to understand here. Well, we can go through a list of all the different sins, all the different issues, all the different problems that we all face, that we all have. And all of us face different things, and all of us have different sin issues, right? And it's not my job, it's not anybody else's job to understand and to know all those things. But it's important for you to understand why it might be happening. Galatians chapter 5, verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." If you look at Galatians chapter 5 and you read through it, and I'm not going to go through the whole thing, obviously, for time's sake, but there's a message, there's a point that's trying to be made here. And yes, this is the same chapter where we see the fruits of the Spirit. What he's trying to say here is that when Christ came into your heart and he saved you, he freed you from the bondage of sin, the law. Because it is the law that we cannot keep. And the law is that which is our schoolmaster that showed us that we are in need of Christ, the Bible says. Therefore, God saved us from those things. And verse 1 says here, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty now wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with" what? "The yoke of bondage." Look at verse 13. "For brethren, ye have been called unto" what? "Liberty. Only use not liberty for" an what? "An occasion to" the what? "Flesh." Kind of see what's being talked about here? In Galatians chapter 5, you see the word "flesh" being mentioned a number of times. Matter of fact, the whole book of Galatians, it's mentioned a lot. But the word "flesh" here means the earthly nature of man apart from divine influence. And therefore, prone to sin and opposed to God. So the flesh is the nature of man apart from divine influence. And therefore, we're prone to sin and be opposed to God. See, there's this issue that we all have and we all face. And when you look at the list of items that we talked about, though as bad as they can be, there's one main thing that drives us to that list. It's our flesh. And if we can understand that, and we can understand the fact that when Christ saved us and he died for us, that he gave us victory over that. He's forgiven us of all our sins. He's forgiven us of all those things. But yet we're being told here that not to entangle again into that type of bondage. We are being told here that we should not take our liberty as an occasion to the flesh. Right. So if we have Christ dwelling within us, we're crucified to that flesh. Therefore, if we're crucified to that flesh, right? And I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself here, but we shouldn't anymore. It's interesting if you look at verses 17 through 21 here. Well, let's look at verse 17. It says, "For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are what? Contrary one to another. So that ye cannot do the things that ye would." Jump down to verse 19. Want to make sure I'm in the right spot here. So 19 through 21. For some reason, I feel like I don't have the right reference here, but in Galatians 19 through 21, it says, Now these are the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these, right? Is that what it says there? Okay. And then it gives this list again. Now, list some of the stuff in that list might be the same as the list that we looked at back in Ephesians, right? But it says the works of the flesh are these. And again, my job is not to go through this list, but we need to understand the fact that because of the flesh, these are things are outcomes of what could happen if we yield to it. So let me make this main point here real quick. And I really want you to catch this one. Grieving the Holy Spirit happens when we tune out of the Holy Spirit's divine influence. And tune back into the fleshly desires that are opposed to God. So there's this battle that's taking flesh, the spirit and the flesh, and they are contrary one to another. And when we yield ourselves members to the flesh, when we yield ourselves to the flesh, right? We tune out what the Holy Spirit is trying to do in our lives. So there's this process taking place in our lives is that we're tuning in and we're tuning out the Holy Spirit at times. A lot of us say, well, I never see the Holy Spirit. I don't see His presence. I don't talk to Him. And a lot of times it's kind of this picture. It's like, you know, you think of the radio, right? Right? You have the Holy Spirit on one end that He's trying to teach us and show us and tell us one things. And when you think of a radio, it goes out into an antenna and then it broadcasts out to many people. But yet it goes through what we call radio waves. Radio waves are invisible, you can't see them. But yet that wave goes into a source that picks up the wave so that you can, what, hear what is being said or being played or whatever it might be, right? Question is what are we tuned into? See, grieving the Holy Spirit happens when we tune out the Holy Spirit's divine influence and we tune back into the fleshly desires that are opposed to God. I think it's interesting to understand is that when I got saved, there was this excitement that occurred, and God saved me, and I was just excited and thankful for the fact that God has given me eternal life, and that I knew for sure that I could have a home in heaven. That was exciting. I mean, it was something that I was searching for all my teenage years. I was looking for truth. I wanted to understand, why did God put me on this earth? Why do I just live my life and then I die and I have no direction and no meaning? And then God showed me. And then I didn't know it at the time, but when I got saved, the Holy Spirit came into my heart and started teaching me and showing me truth. Started convicting my life. And I was sensitive to that. And all I wanted to do is do the right thing. But I'll be honest with you. Over time, if I wasn't in tune, when I started doing things wrong, like I said to you before, I started not immediately going back to God and asking Him for forgiveness. I didn't immediately go back and say, Lord, help me to get over give me victory over this sin. Lord, help me through this scenario. Lord, give me comfort through this situation. I started not doing that. And what was I doing is I was starting to what? Tune out God's working in my life. Larry, you had a question. Yep. Yeah, and that's true. When we get saved, that is what we should be moving away from.
Yeah, we turn that 180 degrees going the other direction.
Yep. You know, the Bible's very clear that, you know, when we're saved, that our minds, our thoughts ought to be transformed, right? So the Bible says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, right? But yet, if we're not careful, okay? I mean, again, you look at the list, and you can say, whoa, wait a minute. A Christian would never do those things.
Right, that's what you would think.
But the truth of the matter is that we still have the flesh. And every one of us, we have sin in our lives, and we don't know what that sin could lead to if we're not doing the right. Yeah. I mean, there's still going to be that battle there. Don't ever say to yourself that I'll never be able to go to that point. Don't ever say to yourself that I'm strong enough that I would never do that. Okay, because you don't know. Go ahead, Ray.
You talk about building a wall between us and the Holy Spirit. In a case like that, you build that wall so high. For some people, they don't believe that you can go back and tear it down. You know, so God can do anything.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and that's the warning that we all need to hear, is that take heed when you think if you stand, lest ye fall, right? Don't ever think that we're not in that position where we could fall to that extent. I'm already a quarter after. Here we go again. But let me get that last point in, okay? And this kind of leads into what you're saying, Ray, okay? But what to remember? What to remember? Christians, we need to remember the price that was paid. Let me read some verses here for you. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. What? And we already mentioned this one. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? Remember that. Verse 20 says, for you were bought with a price, therefore glorify your God in your bodies and in your spirit, which are what? God's. Remember the grieve list. Remember the grieve list. Remember the different things that you know you that could possibly happen if you yield to the flesh, right? And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 11 says, and such were some of you. But ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. I think Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 2 says it so clearly and so right on. Verse 6 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The Bible's trying to make it clear that, you know, God saved us. We are dead to sin. He's forgiven us all of our sins, past, present, future, right? Why should we Christians ever want to go back? God wants us to understand that we ought to understand that He grieves when we go back. God grieves when we go back to the sin that He paid for. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16 says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Galatians chapter 6, verse 8 says, for he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life everlasting. When we think of the fruits of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, we often put a lot of emphasis on that, right? If you want to have the fruits of the Spirit, then have love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, right? Those are all great things. Those are all wonderful things. And those are what? The fruits of the Spirit. But I want to say it this way. Those are the results of tuning back to the Holy Spirit. See, fruits are just what they are. They're fruits. It's the result of doing something. You guys are planters. You like planting? How many people are planters in here? Like grow gardens and stuff, right? When you plant, and we did a garden this year. We were excited about it. And it's neat when you do that, you're planting and you're taking care of that garden, you're watering it, you're giving it a lot of water, you're praying for the rain when it's dry, all those things. And what's neat is to see those plants finally grow and to start bearing fruit. It's a result of the efforts that you did and put into the plants. When we remember what Christ has done for us, we remember what the price that was paid, we'll start yielding, we'll start tuning back to what the Spirit wants us to do. And the fruits of that will be love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, all these things. I got to let you guys go, but the question I have again for you this morning is, are we sensitive to what the Holy Spirit is doing in our lives? If not, let's be sensitive to what He's doing. Let's confess those sins immediately. Let's get it right away. Let's remember what Christ did for us. Let's remember the debt that was paid. Let's remember everything that was done so that we could have eternal life, so that we can be bought back by the blood of Christ. Think about all those things. Let's bring back the sensitivity of our salvation so that we can be lighthouses again for Christ. Lord, let's end this morning and ask you, Lord, to do a great work in our hearts. Father, I just ask that you would help us to all be renewed in our hearts. Father, may we turn away from those fleshly desires that we all have, we all struggle with, but Lord, may we yield to that of the Spirit, the working that He does in our life. And Lord, may we have that sensitivity back, Lord, that we would be guided and directed by Him. Lord, so that we might not miss out, Lord, on what you want to do for our lives, for how you want to use us. And Lord, most of all, Lord, so that we can bring honor and glory to you again. So Father, I just again thank you for this morning. Thank you for being able to teach here this morning and to give this Sunday school lesson, and ask, Lord, that you just work in all of our hearts. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.